Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise be to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. My devotional message for this morning is entitled, Seek to Please Me. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is Matthew 6:33 says, But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. John 8:29 says, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Amen. Praise be to God. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is Seek to Please Me Above All Else. Let that goal be your focal point as you go through this day. Such a mindset you from scattering your energy to the winds. The free will I bestowed on you comes with awesome responsibilities. Each day present you with choice after choice. Many of these decisions you ignore and thus make by default. Without a focal point to guide you, you can easily lose your way. That's why it is so important to stay in communication with me, living in thankful awareness of my presence. You inhabit a falling, disjointed world where things are constantly unraveling around the edges. Only a vibrant relationship with me, you from coming unraveled too. Amen. And that is our devotional message for this morning. I pray that it was a blessing to you as it was to me. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I just want to say the Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15 in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a mighty word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning, Evangelist Hilda?
Blessed. Thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes. Praise.
Look like it's going to be all right today. Amen.
Yeah, just cloudy, they said. The rain don't start till tomorrow.
Yeah, amen. We've had a lot of rain lately, right?
Yeah, we need it.
We need it.
I mean, like, we're coming to the ending of the summer, but it's, like, going to be a cold winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I can feel it in my bones already.
Oh, you feel like it's going to be a cold winter this winter?
Yes.
Oh, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We are so glad to have you on board this morning, and we are so glad that God has steered you in this direction. Amen.
Amen.
And we hope that all is well with you and your family. I just want to let you know that our pastor and apostle, Apostle Wiggins, and his lovely wife, Nadine, First Lady Nadine, they send you their greetings. Amen.
Amen.
They send you their greetings and their love, and they are hoping that all is well with you and your family. Amen. Praise God. And I just want to say to Evangelist Hilda that how faithful Evangelist Hilda is, and that she opens up this program starting from Tuesday to Saturday. And she brings a sweet hour of prayer during the week, and also she brings a sermon. It could be sometimes on Thursday and on Friday. Amen.
Amen.
Now, our First Lady also brings a lesson on Tuesday. And our own Sister Barbara, she brings a lesson on Wednesday. Amen. And our Sister Barbara is going to be on right after this program with some beautiful poetry that you don't want to miss. Amen. Inspired poetry from the Lord. And also, I want to, and our own Pastor Kathy and her husband, Stephen DeVos, they're going to be on right after the right after Sister Barbara with Talk in the Sanctuary. And they bring on some wonderful topics. And you don't want to miss that. Amen. Praise God. And also, Pastor Kathy, she brings a sermon on Thursday. Amen. And you don't want to miss that either. Amen. Praise God. And I also want to give a shout out to I want to give a shout out to Prophetess Washington, and also pastors.
Apostle Jackson,
and Dr. V. Turner.
Amen.
I want to give a shout out to them. Thank you, Evangelist Hilda. Thank you. Because they've been a blessing to this ministry, and I just want to give a shout out to them. I hope all is well with their ministries and with their family. And I hope that everything is going all right with them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn our attention to God, our God Most High, because that's the reason why we're here today. Amen. We're here to glorify the Father. Amen. We're here to glorify Father God. Amen. Sometimes we call him Abba Father. So we're here to glorify him because he likes to be worshipped and glorified and magnified. You know, he likes you to acknowledge his presence. Amen. So we acknowledge Father God's presence. So wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world. You could be in Africa. You could be in the Caribbean. You could be in Australia. You could be in England, London. You could be in the Far East, wherever it is. Amen. You could be in China. You could be in Russia, India. Wherever you are, amen, I want us all to bow our heads in prayer, amen, because when Yeshua comes back, he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle, amen. He's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle.
Amen.
He's coming back for a united church, amen. Unified, amen. Of one mind. He's coming back for a church that has one mind. Amen. Praise God. So I want you us all to bow our heads while I say this prayer. Amen. Praise God. Father God, we give you the highest praise, for you are worthy of all honor and glory. We glorify and magnify you. May we love you always, Father. May we walk with you in the secret place. May we put you first and foremost in our lives.
Amen.
May we obey you and remember all that you've done for us. May we learn who you are and never forget the power of your might. May we focus our eyes on Yeshua and reverence his holy name. May we always be led by his spirit and not by the flesh. May we always maintain an intimate and personal relationship with you, Father God. May we not forget the unconditional love that you have for us. And even though some of us do not return your love or believe that you exist, you reign on the just as well as the unjust. You are no respecter of persons. Thank you for Yeshua and his shed blood. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the consuming fire, the angels, the warring angels, our guardian angel, and our enemies. And most of all, we thank you for you being you, Father God. We thank you for not forgetting us, Father. Even though you scattered the Israelites to all four corners of the earth, Father God, you never forgot us, Father. Thus a history book, and we thank you for it. We thank you for everything. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace, your long-suffering, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your grace. We thank you for everything. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So right now I'm going to sing one song, and then after that, I will bring the word for today. Amen.
Amen.
It's a continued word of what I talked about last week. Amen. Praise God. I always love this song. This song is a unifying song. Amen. Praise God. I was thinking about this song years ago when I was working. I met someone who was trying to find Christ. You know, they was trying to get closer to the Lord. And I remember him and I worked together in the courts. And I remember singing this song to him in the hallway as we went down the stairs, you know, because I had loved the song so much. But just listen to the words of the song if you don't know the song.
Amen.
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 I've sang it before, but I've sang so many songs, maybe you don't remember it.
Oh, no.
Praise God.
God.
I love a lot of beautiful music, especially if they're saying something, when they're saying a certain words, you know, I love the words. Amen. Praise God. So if you know the song, you can sing along with me. If you don't, it's okay. Just listen to the words of the song.
Amen.
Amen. We are one, we are one, although we're many, even millions, we are one, the Church of God the Father, the Bride of Christ the Son, and in the unity of the Spirit, we are one. We are one. We are one. Although we're many, even millions, we are one. The Church of God the Father, the Bride of Christ the Son, and in the unity of the Spirit, and in the unity of the Spirit, and in the unity of the Spirit, we are one. Isn't that a beautiful song?
Amen. Beautiful.
And in the unity of the Spirit, we are one.
Yes.
We are one. We are one. And when Yeshua comes back, that's what he's coming back for, a church without a spot or a wrinkle. That we are one, of one mind. Amen.
Amen.
We are all of one mind.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word today, and I'm going to talk about the same thing I talked about last week that had to do with Moses. Amen. With
Amen.
The burning bush. Amen. So the verse of scripture I'm coming from is Numbers chapter 21, and that's verses 4 through 9, I believe, 4 through 9, 21, 4 through 9, where it says, oh, but wait a minute, I better pray. Praise God. Ugh, I don't want to go in without praise.
Amen.
So I'll just say a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today, Father God. As I go forth today, Father God, I ask you to protect that word as it goes into their spirit, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So as we go forth today, as I go forth today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may it be all of you and none of me, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So now I'm coming from Numbers chapter 21, and that's verses 4 through 9. And it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls hate this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You see, because God does not like complaining, a lot of complaining, especially when
Amen.
He's doing everything for you, you know. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bit any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So even though God had killed some with a serpent, he still made a way out. When they saw that serpent that on that pole that Moses was holding up, that fiery serpent, they would live. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So God loved and cared for Israel. And he was concerned about how harshly they were being abused by the Egyptians. See? So he came down to rescue them and take them to a better place through Moses. So just like the Israelites, today our cries of distress, oppression, hardship, suffering, heartaches, and pain reaches up to our Heavenly Father's ears, the Almighty. It reaches up to his ears and causes him to come to our aid with the answers to every problem. Amen.
Amen.
When we cry out to him, he already has the answer before we had the problem. Amen. Some people cry out to him and they don't really believe that he's going to answer them. You know, they don't, their faith is small. Their faith is small. Ugh. because God gives us an answer, and it's to bring us to a better place. And he might bring someone like Moses, amen,
amen.
A person that is sent, amen. And sometimes we imbibe, you know, we accept the person that's sent, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we accept them, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't realize that they're from God. They were sent by God, amen,
amen,
to give us a word, to help us in times of need. There's so many different ways that God sends people to help us, amen. So God says in verse 10 of Exodus 3, "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh." See, this is what he was telling Moses. He says, "Go, because I am sending you to Pharaoh. Moses, you must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." In verse 11, Moses protested to God. And instead of looking to God and recognizing the power that he just demonstrated, he was looking at himself. See? He wasn't looking at God and what he had already done. He was looking at his own capabilities that amounted to nothing in comparison to God's capabilities. So Moses replied, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh, the king?" You see? Because Moses didn't get it yet that he was talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He was talking to the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to the ruler of all nations. Moses continued to say, "Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" And God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who sent you." See, this is the attitude that some of us Christians have today when God chooses us or chooses you. Well, when God chooses you, he will equip you, and he also sends you. He wouldn't send you unless you're equipped. Amen. God does not send you. He teaches you first, and then he sends you. See? God teaches you first, he equips you, and then he sends you to spread the gospel, to spread his gospel. Like Moses, you try to rely on your own ability instead of God and his almighty power. See? Sometimes we forget that God sent us, and we try to go on our own, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Or we might go too fast ahead of God. You know what I'm saying? He wants you to study first,
yes,
to show yourself approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, before he sends you out as a minister of the gospel. Amen. But sometimes you go ahead of God and you're out there trying to do something on your own without God. You can't do anything on your own without God, because he has all power. God has all power, and he can see way ahead of you. He has to put things in place for you as he sends you on.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times God is so quiet, we think that God is not doing anything. But God is putting things in place for you as you go.
Yes.
He's putting things in place, people in place for you as you go. Amen?
Amen.
So God says, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you."
Mm-hmm.
See? "And this is your sign. As I was with Moses, I will be with you." God is with us, just like he was with Moses. Amen. But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and say, the God of your ancestors have sent me to you. They will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Can you say that, can you see that Moses was worried? He was worried about the people's reaction when he tells them that God sent him to mm-hmm. them out of Egypt. And that's how we are today, too, because sometimes people don't believe you if you tell them, well, you know, God sent me. People don't believe you. I've had that experience where people don't believe me when I say, well, you know, God sent me or God told me this. They don't believe it. Sometimes they don't believe you until something materializes. Then all of a sudden they believe, you see. But God affirms and reassures him by saying, Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. That's what God wanted Moses to say to them. Mm-hmm. I am sent me to you. The God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. God said, I am that I am is my eternal name. Amen. Amen. And I am that I am is God's name forever. That's God's name forever, and that's his eternal name. And God said, now go and tell the elders of Israel that I have appeared unto you. Call the elders together and tell them. In chapter 4, verse 1, here we find Moses protesting about the people not believing or listening to him. He was still worried about it. Moses was still worried about it. He wanted something to show the people. Something out of the ordinary. That's what he wanted. He wanted something out of the ordinary. You see, because he figured if it's something ordinary, they're not going to believe me. You know what I mean? Something supernatural to show that God was with him. Perhaps a miracle? That should do it. God understood that, and he asked Moses, what is that in your hand? And Moses replied, a shepherd's staff. And God said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Turned into a snake when he threw it on the ground. Moses jumped back in amazement, saying to himself, whoa, I wanted a miracle, but I wasn't prepared for this. That's what Moses said. Well, wait a minute. He said, I wanted a miracle, but I wasn't prepared for this. Then God said, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, really appeared to you. See? When Moses raised of his staff, things began to happen, just like God said. Amen? Yeah. So not only with the children of Israel, would they believe that Moses was sent. This raised Moses' faith too to really believe. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because when he raised that staff, things started to happen, signs and wonders, and supernatural things began to happen. You know?
Yes.
In front of the people of Israel. So, you know, this made Moses more confident. He said, well, you know what I'm saying? All I got to do is raise this staff, and signs and wonders and supernatural things start to happen. See? And the children of Israel, they were witnessing it right before their eyes. Amen. They was witnessing it right before their eyes. So let us take a look at Exodus chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. So Moses lifted up the staff towards the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning lightning flash towards the earth. The Lord sent a tremendous hailstorm against all the land of Egypt. See, God was really showing his power. He was really showing his power. When Moses lifted up that staff, the Lord sent thunder. He sent hail. He sent lightning and lightning flashes towards the earth. The Lord sent a tremendous hailstorm against all the land of Egypt. The power of God was on display, and never in the history of Egypt had there been a storm like that with such devastating hail and continuous lightning. It left all of Egypt in ruin. Did you hear that? It left all of Egypt in ruin. You know? The hail struck down everything in the open field, the people, the animals, the plants alike. Even the trees were destroyed. Do you see that when God fights for you and attacks your enemy, he can cause terrible damage if he chooses to do so?
Yes.
Amen. He can cause terrible damage if he chooses to do so. You know, a lot of times when the Israelites were fighting against, like, the Philistines, God would go ahead of them and do the work. Whatever needs to be done, he would go ahead of them. That's why we can't afford to go ahead of God. We have to let God lead in front of us. We Amen. Can't go ahead of God.
Right.
Amen. God is the one who has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Praise God. The only place without hail was the region of Goshen, where the people of Israel lived. In other words, he protected that area. Amen. Where the people of Israel lived. He protected that area. Amen. Because God was that was his chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites was his chosen people. He kept them safe from hurt, harm, and danger, just like he does us today when he fights on our behalf.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful to know?
Yes, yes.
Just like when he fights on our behalf. Praise God. Amen. So in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, then the Lord said to Moses, lift up your hands towards heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with darkness, so thick that you can feel it. Now that's getting dark, right? When it's so dark that you can feel the darkness. Mm. Have you ever been in darkness and it's really, really dark? Yeah, you know what I mean? This is a darkness, God said, that it'll be so dark that you will feel it. So Moses lifted up his hand to the sky, and deep darkness covered the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Boy, I can understand how them people felt in there. They were saying, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was that darkness, that thick darkness covered the land for 3 days.
Amen.
During all that time, the people could not see each other, and no one moved. No one moved for that period of time. Can you imagine if you need to go to the bathroom or something? Nobody moved.
No.
I don't want to see that.
That is, and so they didn't even eat. They didn't eat for 3 days. You know, I mean, how could they can't find the food. They don't know where, what, you know what I mean? They don't even know where each other is. You know what I'm saying? They're afraid if they move, they might hit somebody. Move, you know, they don't know. And babies was there, too, people with families and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there was light, as usual, where the people of Israel lived. See how much he loved them?
Mm-hmm.
The other people were in darkness, but there was light where Israel was. Amen. His chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
See? And that's how it is today. You see, with the Israelites, God is the government. He governs the Israelites. But in the outer circle, the world is in the outer circle, and that's the... that's governed by the prince of darkness. Amen.
Hey, yes.
So Moses would always respond in obedience when God instructed him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess so after seeing all of that. after seeing all of that, I would be in obedience myself. I said, well, listen. Okay, do you see why it is important that we obey God swiftly without hesitation?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that we obey God swiftly without hesitation. So I'm going to stop here, and you can think on that, and I'll bring the rest next week. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this message today, and I turn it right now over in the hands of Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that declares a hand clap praise. Praise God. And before we have Apostle Mother Wiggins give us the call to salvation and the benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Oh, wow. Good morning. Blessed and highly favored. How you all doing?
Blessed, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm enjoying that message that Mother's bringing.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Amen. I'm going to read a poem that I wrote last night. It's entitled Judge Not. I wrote it about 11 minutes after 10 on September the 17th, 2021. And again, the title is Judge Not. The young fellow walked up to the front of the room. As he made his way, I was feeling uncertain, because as I saw from behind, his pants were dropped down, and I saw his gray underwear, his underpants. Oh, my Lord, from my seat, from afar. To me, what a sight, a horror. Are we doing this still? This is old and outdated. He presented himself as a new millennial. That's understated. But wait a minute. I didn't want to hear a word he might say, because I saw his underwear, his underpants, from the back of them, and they're gray. It's not because of the color gray. We were in a funeral home, chapel of sorts, similar to a church sanctuary. It was a homegoing service of a well-respected older man from their block. Thought his attire should have been less street, more formal. After all, it's not a party, but a funeral. You're not out on the streets, I repeat. So why would you insist on displaying your cheeks in your underpants, your underwear, and they're gray already? As the young man spoke, he had words of honor and trust that spoke of the goodness and the caring things that the one in the casket had done and had said. He knew him from when he was younger, knee-high to a frog. He'd been babysat by him and later had him babysit his own daughters. There was much love, respect, admiration, and appreciation on both sides of the two souls. But there he stood with his gray underwear showing, turning my emotions and opinions around. They say don't judge a book by its cover. For this scenario, it was quite apropos. I'm glad that he spoke. The young man was no joke. He had class and clout, but he did have half his behind out, and he wore gray underwear. Oh dear, which doesn't really matter. It's best to be about love, and he was. That's all it is for a starter. It's God's loving grace that moves mountains. Later, when we were leaving, I spied him outside up the block. I yelled from my passing car, "That was a nice job you done. You made us, me especially, proud, my son." And my scripture comes from Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5 in King James Version, where it reads, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful.
God bless you, Mother.
Amen.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. That was really beautiful. Yeah.
So,
about his attire, you know. Because a lot of times you judge people, and I'm always thinking of when I'm telling you a little story real quick. I was at church, you know, we used to wear these beautiful hats and stuff. And no, I wasn't at church. We had went to a something downtown. I can't remember where the place was, but they had like some kind of concert going on. And they had different singers there. And this girl came up, but, you know, her coat was kind of raggedy and things like that, you know. And, of course, we all was there looking sly with our big hat. You know what I mean? But when that girl opened her mouth, I'm telling you, you knew that she had a relationship with God. And she sang. You know, I went on to know her, you know, be friendly with her. But she had a relationship with God. She had a relationship with God, and she went on to be a pastor eventually, you know. But I'm saying that just to judge people, you don't even know where God is taking them to. You know
right.
what I'm saying? You know,
don't.
You know nothing about them. You know nothing about their life. Nothing about why they're like, you know, maybe it was like that. Maybe there's a reason why he's wearing his.
That's the bottom line.
Like
you do not know. You don't know what you're gonna get from your encounter with them, not even so much as what God is going to do with them, with your being present with them at that moment. You look at
them
and you discern that, you know, this one's not dressed right. This one's pants are hanging down. This one, you know, needs to go wash their face or put on some deodorant or take a bath. But you don't know what
true.
You're going to get out of that. You know?
But not only that.
God is going to do what God is going to do.
Yes.
Period. You know, if he wants to make them a pastor or an apostle, that's something has nothing to do with you. But to judge somebody because of their looks, that's not for us. That's not on us. That's God's duty.
What I want to say, what you said there is right. I agree with you on that. And it's a lot of times what God does is that he is testing you for your reaction. You know what I mean? As a Christian, you're supposed to be loving God. Are you going to show love or what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just a test. That's a test for you. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
And
so right now I'm getting ready. Okay, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to make a short comment on...
That's all right.
Sister Barbara, when she was saying about the guy had pants was so low that you could see his underwear. And I was looking at the news last night where a bunch of people were beating up their hostess at this restaurant because she was doing her job. And she was just telling them that, you know, they have to show proof that they are vaccinated and everything. And they jumped the poor girl just for saying that. And this guy, I mean, his pants was like way down. And he had on
red, his red underwear.
Exactly. So that's a laugh when she was talking about that part of that in her poem, and I saw it last night. I said, "Wow, that's it."
Amen.
Amen.
I saw that too.
Yes.
Yeah. And
I also want to say good morning to Jake. How are you this morning? And thank you
good
for
morning,
showing
ladies.
Up.
Good morning,
ladies.
Hello, Jake. Good morning.
Good
morning. I know I heard a male voice.
Yes.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah. I'm glad I caught the sermon and the poem today. It were very very inspiring and truthful. The about judgment. You know, I find that there are two varieties of judgment in the Bible. You have the human judgment and God's judgment. And
hallelujah.
And how dangerous it is for humans to pretend that they're God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
And it is dangerous. I was reminded of one church I was a member of where the pastor seemed to be more interested in keeping up appearances and you know, everything being proper and in order. And one Sunday, this drunken man sort of stumbles into the church, and I could see the pastor give this look like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
But I sensed that God had brought that, had motivated that man to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I welcomed him and gave him a hug, and he sat down, and during the rest of the service, the pastor kept giving him this look like, you know, that would curdle soy milk. And it felt really, really uncomfortable because, you know, why do we have God's church? Do we have God's church so that we can all dress up and sing beautiful songs and show the world how superior we are to everybody else?
That's right.
Or do we have church to invite those who need God, to show people that they're not so sinful that God doesn't care about them anymore?
That's it.
Yes.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I like what you said. That's really true.
It is.
Very
and
true.
It's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate because I also you mentioned, you know, church without a spot or wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
People use that scripture all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that those who, and forgive me, but many who sort of use it to the point of they're just abusing it, either don't understand what it means anymore, or they themselves are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, if I say, okay, I'm going to remove everybody who has like a criminal history of any kind, whether it's larceny or whatever, I'm going to cleanse my church from all unrighteousness. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's say you decide to do that. Well, you know, most people, all right, a better example. A pastor who makes it their mission to remove all sexual immorality from their church.
Mm-hmm.
Many times they get caught down the road seeing a whore or getting caught in performing the very behaviors that they so viciously demanded that people who behave that way have to be excommunicated from the church because God doesn't. So, you know, what that teaches me about human nature, and also, you know, it's in, the Bible teaches us so much about human nature, that I think that's where we have to be so careful. You know, it's just it's distressing that, you know, here we are, fallible humans. You know, we're not on point, and you know, we're humans. We're just making our way through this minefield called life on Earth, and it when you have a human elevated into a position of leadership, it brings with it a whole lot of complexities and dangers. You know, you just look at, you don't even have to look at leadership in the church. You just look at leadership in general in any human institution.
Right.
You know, it strange things happen to the human mind. And you know, the biblical example to me is like Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27, which is the quintessential example of humanity getting it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for example, in my neighborhood, there used to be this great men's homeless shelter for men called Project Renewal. They were amazing. You know, the men would come there. They would get evaluated. If they needed help for mental health issues, they were referred to help. They were referred to jobs. And then management changed, and the new management realized, you know, we can make money off of this situation. Instead of wasting our money helping these people, we'll just warehouse them and collect the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happened? Crime started to go up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you warehouse somebody, you kick them out on the street during the day, and what do? They smoke, you know, bath salts and go crazy and assault people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then who looks bad? Well, the homeless people, not the people at the shelter who sort of caused that problem, but the homeless people themselves get demonized and vilified, and they don't get the help that they need.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They put them out on the street, and they have a certain time to come back to go to bed.
Right.
I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Have a certain time to come back. So they really don't never improve. Nothing improves.
Why
for
should
them.
They? Why should they?
Yeah.
You know, you treat me like crap. Why should I treat myself like crap?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's really it's we're a hot mess.
Yeah.
Boy,
that's a hot
we really
mess.
Are.
Yeah.
But the only way to fix that, you know, you have to talk about it. You really do.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I find that in this realm, if you don't talk about the truth, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, anyway.
Yeah. Praise God.
Sorry, just had to get on a
soapbox
for a second, but.
Amen. So right now I'm getting ready to, if there's anybody out there that want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, this is your time now. Amen. This is your time now. All you have to do is repeat this short prayer after me. Amen. Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my
sins
and I ask your
forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving
me,
Lord,
and
I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I believe
that
you
raised
your only son,
Jesus,
from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the
Lord and
Savior
over my life.
Now, if there's anyone out there that have said this short prayer, we are so excited over you. And we welcome you into the body of Christ. And we know that all heaven is rejoicing, whether it be one or whether it be many. We don't know how many it is, but God knows. Amen. So again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. When you said that, the Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a teacher, a divine teacher. And the Holy Spirit is your helper. Amen. So if you don't have a church home, just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place where you can hear the word. It'll cause you to grow. That word will cause you to grow and where you will have fellowship with other believers. Again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
As it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14 to 16. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living and satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better than that, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy, saith the Lord. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
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 So at this time, I am going to play a selection. We're going to say good morning to Father God. And Sister Barbara, if you have a topic or anyone have a topic that we want to discuss this morning after the selection, so we will talk about whatever God puts on your heart to talk about this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I have a Doesn't matter how long that meat will take. The Lord knows my heart anyway. So just
Sister Barbara have a topic that you want us to talk about this morning?
I can't think of anything offhand. I had thought of something, you know, earlier in the week, but it kind of escapes me right now. Mm-hmm. If it comes back to me, I'll present it, but someone else can, you know, say something if they like.
Okay. Apostle Mother Wiggins or Jake, and one of you guys have a topic you would like to discuss this morning?
Evangelist, do you have a topic?
Not really. I was going to just continue with what we were talking about, judgment. Judge. Who are we?
We can go there for now.
Okay. Right. So, you know, judgment, like, okay, we as human beings have no right to judge anyone. That's God's job to judge, because like he said in his word that, you know, he who judged shall be judged. And to tell you the truth, that's basically what we do all the time, whether we know it or we don't know. We see something and right away we make a judgment. No, you were not supposed to do that, but we do. I mean, just like when, like, sometimes if I go and I get on the bus and I see all kinds of, you know, people get on the bus, and then right away the mind clear, oh, my God, not again. Why do they always have to let all these people on the bus, and look how they are, and they smell, and they loud. Okay, right there, I'm making a judgment. That's not my business. Who gets on the bus or who is clean and who's not, and you know, you don't want nobody to touch you, then in a case like that, if you don't want to be touched, you don't want to be on a crowded bus, then go in a car or in a cab. That's how I look at it. But, you know, as a Christian, doesn't matter what people look like. Your job is to just, you know, speak the word of God. Sometimes you're like, oh, it's such a beautiful day today. How are you this morning? And that's how you start up a conversation. And then, you know, once the person receives your, you know, talking, then you continue to talk with them, and you're saying like, oh, the things of the world, what is the world is coming to? No, the world is not coming to anything. It's the human race. We are the ones that are destroying the world. We do things that we're not supposed to do.
Sounds like a judgment to me.
Exactly. And who gives me that right to judge?
Well, I think judgment, well, first of all, judgment isn't always a negative thing. You know, we make judgment about positive things. Like, I think you're all really nice, great, loving people. That was a judgment. And also, if it weren't for judgment, I don't think we would have lived this long. I mean, you know, we make judgments all the time. You know, when for example, if we're walking home and it's very late at night and the neighborhood is kind of dodgy and the voice of the Lord says, turn right here instead.
Yes.
Well, we have to judge, are we going to turn here or continue on our original course?
Mm-hmm.
You know, judgment, when you take an airplane ride, judgment is keeping you safe from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes God throws a wrench in the works. Yeah,
because every time I get on a plane, I pray, Lord, please let this plane take me safely to where I'm going. And because, you know, I'm afraid of planes. I don't know why. It's just my fear. You know, and that's why I never liked to fly. Until as I got even older, and I noticed, like, all of my children and them, you know, they move far away. And in order for me to get to one of them, I have to fly or drive, which is, no, I can't do them 10 and 11, 12 hours. That's out. Not when I was younger, it was fine. But as you get older, it's harder to, you know, sit for so many hours in one spot. Because you can't get up and move around in a car. But in the plane, you can, you know, get up and move. And then, like, I had to, like, you know, put all of my trust in God and just prayed and asked him to not let anything happen to this plane, that he would guide this pilot to the destination that, you know, we are supposed to go to safely without any problems. So, yes, I did. I went through it, and then I was happy after that. So now, I mean, I don't have a problem. I'll get on a plane and go on about my business because I know that my father is the pilot of that plane.
Right, affecting the judgment of the crew.
Right. You know, when I say that my father is the is the pilot of this plane, is the meaning that I know that he's there and he's going to guide the pilots and to do what they have to do to get everybody safely to their destination.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song about that too. That's what I just said. My father is the pilot of this plane.
I don't know that song.
It's a song about it. I used
never
to
heard
sing
it,
but I can't remember it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know a lot of songs, but I don't know that song.
It's an old song. And, you know, I forgot the woman that sang that song. I had all of those albums, but
Google it and get the information. But I just wanted to add that I'm so glad that you said that, you know, God is the pilot, because we have bumper stickers that many drivers have pasted on their cars.
Yes.
Or whatever, saying God is my co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I read something the other day or heard it or whatever that, no, that's misspoken, because God is the one that's in charge. You are the co-pilot. Amen?
Thank you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I'm so glad to hear you say that. God
yes.
is my, it's not me that's assisting him. It's him
right.
who's assisting me. So
amen,
praise God.
Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It's very true.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, about judging, I was going to say about judging, sometimes, you know, I found that sometimes you can judge too quickly a situation, you know, a person. And I've found that a lot of times when I used to judge real quick on something, whereas now I'm more hold back and look at the whole situation.
Right.
Because when I would judge too quick, then I have to go to God and
ask for forgiveness.
Ask him for forgiveness. You know, I have to bite my tongue. I say, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Because I judge too quickly. And then sometime when I used to be judging people, God would tell me, he said, but wait a minute, you're doing the same thing.
Come on now.
You know that, because sometimes you're judging a person, and guess what? You're doing the same identical thing, but you excuse yourself, but you're judging them. But you don't. You actually didn't really take a look at yourself to see what you was doing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And God told that happens a lot.
That's why, I'm sorry?
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
That's why it's in scripture so frequently.
Amen. That is it. Matthew 7.
Yeah.
Matthew 7.
That's why now I hold back on them.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
That's why now I hold back on, you know, judging a situation or a person or whatever's going on there, and whatever I think it is. You know what I mean? I hold back on it. Because you could be wrong. You could be wrong in how you're judging. And then when it turns out, you say, oh, my goodness, it's not what you – because sometimes what you see is not what it is.
It's true.
Yeah.
What you see is not what it is, you know what I'm saying? You think it's something – then when you find out all the facts, you got to get the facts first of all the situations. You know what I mean? Maybe you're judging a person with their life and everything. You don't know what they've gone through in their life and things like that. So you really got to hold off on that, you know, hold off on judging, you know. Yeah. But like you said, there's all types of judging. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when you're riding a plane, you're hoping that the pilot or them. Well, one picture I saw, I think it was Denzel Washington, where he was driving a plane, but he was drunk. He used to drive drunk.
Yes.
I don't know if you'll remember that.
Yeah, I remember it, but I didn't get to see it. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
he used to drive drunk. And one time there was some kind of something going on there with, it was an emergency of some sort. You know what I'm saying? And you have to have good keen judgment, I mean, when you're driving a plane. Mm-hmm. I've never driven a plane, but that's what I surmise, you know. Mm. But it was a very good picture. I don't remember all the details of it, but I remember that he was driving drunk. Driving drunk.
So I have an interesting question to everybody here. Is there a difference between making a judgment and making an observation?
A judgment and an observation. I think with the observation, you're just observing something, right? You're just observing with an observation. But then you can make a judgment on the observation that you're judging it, you know, with the observation. But I think when you make an observation, you're just looking at something. You're just observing it, I guess. You're making an observation on observing something, you know. And then uh-huh. afterwards, you make a judgment on what you've seen, right?
Yes.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Wow,
the
that
question
was well said.
The question was, what's the difference between judgment and observation?
Let's see what she say. Yes.
Jacob, is that what you said?
Yeah, is there a difference between making a judgment and making an observation?
Well, I didn't hear everything Mother said. I was trying to get the name of the movie. Kenny said the name of the movie was Flight.
Yes,
heard of it.
Yes, Flight.
Okay, so making a judgment is, well, God has told us in his word, as I read from Matthew 7:1-5, that we don't do that because we are looking at somebody else with a speck in their eye and we don't see the pole in our own eye. Amen? So we
Amen.
Don't do that. We don't make judgments. But to make an observation is not quite the same thing. To observe something is you're looking at it. You know, you're considering the downside, the upside, the advantages, the disadvantages. Should I enter? Should I not? Should I exit? You know, you're observing the situation. And should you get into it or not? You know,
mm-hmm.
but we also should get into those kinds of things by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. But it's
yes.
nothing wrong with looking at something, observing something. You don't have to make a decision about it. That's my interpretation.
Yeah, I like that, Sister mm-hmm. Barbara, because I do that too. I will, like, be outside and looking in the window, and I was like, wow, that is so beautiful. I think I'll get that. But then I don't just rush right in and get it. I wait a while
mm-hmm.
before
mm-hmm.
I go back and get it.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Because I may have, you know, just bought it just because I saw it, and it may not.
Oh.
Once you buy it and you get it home, and for some reason, it doesn't look like it did when it was in the store. Yeah.
Oh.
And then you end up bringing it back. So that was
oh.
like a quick judgment on my part, you know?
Mm.
So take time to think about it.
Impulse buying.
That's
you know,
right.
You see something,
yes.
you can afford it, or you got the credit card, so you buy it. You know, like that Mercedes-Benz. I was walking past the dealership. I saw one in red, and I went and purchased it, you know. But we don't do that. Things like that, you think about it, you talk about it, you know, you try to get some data about it to see if this is what, you know, would suit my case, at least for me.
Exactly.
It may not
yes.
be for you. It may be a gas guzzler. It may, you know, require being polished every day or whatever the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's too much investment of time and additional money and so forth and so on. So we tend to, with big purchases anyway, we tend to mull them over unless we're on a mission and we've researched it before we get out into the shopping sphere. We
mm-hmm.
try to think about it, come home, do I really need it, you know, or is this
exactly.
just a want? Because a lot of things we buy, we don't even use. I mean, I've got things in my closet from years ago with the price tag still on them. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
In inflation. Mm-hmm. Price tags on coats. I've never worn because,
exactly.
You know, I could get two, and I bought two, and I wore one, and so the other one is unworn. But
mm-hmm.
we do that. We do that.
Yes.
And it would take more time to just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put the money in the bank. Put the money in the bank. Give it to the homeless or something, but you don't have to buy that thing because more than likely you've got some at home already, you know?
Exactly.
Got some at home. Whatever.
Think
about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Don't make
now, back to judgment and observation, I'm going to take the idea a little further, which is, what if you observe a loved one behaving in a destructive way?
A loved one doing what? Abusing?
Doing something destructive.
Doing something
behaving
destructive?
Destructively, speaking destructively, maybe even neglecting a situation that could harm them. And you observe this in your life. Do you invoke the judge not, lest he not be judged?
That's different.
Or do you discuss the situation with them?
I would think you would try to intervene. You know, sometimes people don't like to be told different things. They know what they're doing. You know, they know they're abusing, they're acting out of character, they're just doing harmful and violent things. And sometimes it's hard to approach them because they might be in denial. Oh, I'm not doing nothing wrong. What are you talking about? You crazy girl. You know, and they denying the very thing that is evident to those that care about them. Some people will see them doing those destructive things and, you know, they turn a blind eye or they say it doesn't matter or that's just so-and-so. They that's how they act. They're crazy. You know, but if we care about the individual, we time it, we take a convenient time, pray about it. I believe in praying about everything first, even if it's a quick prayer before you say whatever, but you pray about it before you speak to that person, and you try to do it in a calm and a loving and a peaceful way, and it may take a while. You may see it today and don't act on it for weeks, months, even years sometimes. But it's in your mind that you want to say something to help them. So I think you need to pray about it, think about it, and approach when the time is best.
Yeah,
well, I think if you see a person acting destructively and everything. I wonder what's that sound there.
Somebody's phone is out.
Yeah. Maybe we could just mute our phones if we're not talking.
Okay. I turned it around. Does that help?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If you see somebody, you know, if you, a loved one acting in a destructive way, then I think that you should talk to them about it. You know what I'm saying? If you're in Christ, and you know, most likely you're led by the Spirit. You talk to them about it. You know, whatever they're doing, I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? I don't know what the destructive could be. I don't know how old the person is either. You know what I mean? Could be a teenager, right? Could be a older person. Could be a married person, somebody that's married, you know. Maybe you say something to them, you know, about what they're doing. You know what I mean? But I think if you don't say anything to them, you know, it's better to say something to them about it. But I mean, it's the way you say it. You don't want to say it like, you know, you say it in a loving way. You know, you talk to them about it, and maybe you pick a time to talk to them. You know what I mean? Maybe the time you're going to talk to them is not the right time. You know, it's not the right time. So you pick a time, or you ask God to set up a time where you can talk to them on the situation, you know. Maybe you don't want to talk to them in front of other people, you know what I mean? Because some people are intimidated, especially if you tell them off or whatever you got to say in front of other people, you know what I mean? It's best that it's just you and them.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Amen.
Amen.
And especially like if it's a child, you have to... if that child is being destructive, then you have to approach that child right then and there to let them know.
That's true.
But in a gentle way, you know, you don't yell and scream and raise your voice at them, but you know, you go up to them and you kind of gently touch their hands or their arms or shoulders and just talk to them in a, you know, calm voice to let them know that what is the problem? What happened? Why are you throwing the toys around or breaking up things? You know, you could talk to me. I'm here to listen, you know? Because if you continue to let them do what they're doing, they're going to think that it's okay for me to break this and break that.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I was just thinking. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sister Barbara.
I was just thinking that, you know, with different ages, it may be, you know, different ways to approach a situation. I wasn't thinking about children so much because children should always be corrected, and it's not always by, you know, a stranger or somebody. Hopefully it's some adult that's related or guardianship over them is observing also and has enough, you know, sanity about themselves to, if they're taught the right way, when they get out in the open, normally they're not going to be doing these destructive things. If you allow that in the home, then when they go out, that's normal for them. That's what they expect. Hey, mommy, why are you acting, you know, so stupid now? When at home, you let me do it all the time, you know, so you don't let them do it at home. And so when you go out, you won't be embarrassed. Amen.
Amen.
We say that there's a certain way to talk to anybody. You would never approach anybody in the company of others, especially an adult, to talk about their behavior. That's just not right. You don't do that. That's nobody's business. That's between you and the individual. You pull them on the side or you wait till they're alone or whatever. Invite them over for dinner. Take them out for lunch or something. And get, you know, their confidence and let them know that you care. That's why you're intervening. But at the same time, people are looking at you. What are you doing this so right? You think you're an angel? I saw what you did the other night. So come on, get out of my face, you know? Yeah. How are you living that you can go and try to correct somebody else? Because they're watching what you do as well as what you're observing them do. So you got to come right.
Yeah, well, you have to be a good example. You know what I mean?
Right. Otherwise, you keep your mouth shut if you're not doing the right thing yourself.
What if you discuss the issue not punitively and say, well, you know, I'm observing your behaviors because I have the same tendency myself, and I'm concerned for you, rather than saying, what you're doing is wrong, you're going to hell. Change.
It depends on how you say it.
Right.
The way you say things can be taken in a lot of different ways. If you present it in such a way that it's, you know, received as opposed to being lashed upon them, then they're going to receive it differently. And again, you could be doing the same thing, but you've got an awakening and you let them know, you know, I used to do the same thing, or I used to do things like that, and, you know, I've been delivered, you know, and I'm telling you, this is the way you should go, or at least consider it, you know. Can
right.
we go to church one day, or can I pray with you, or something like that, to help you, you know, make a decision as to what you're doing, or let you know that what you're doing is not right. You know, God doesn't like that. I don't like that. So just, you know, let's try to make this work, make this better.
Yeah.
That's,
you know, some people, they dig themselves into a hole by taking out their negative feelings and alienating the people around them, so that they're so unbearable to be around that nobody wants to even bother trying. I've run into that problem too. And you know, it presents kind of an ethical dilemma if you take scripture literally and say, okay, well, yeah, I'm not perfect. I probably have a beam in my eye. So, but, you know, so-and-so is is obviously in distress, taking it out on the people around them, and just making a toxic situation more and more toxic as every day goes on. I sit on my hands and just say, well, you know, it's God's problem, not mine. Or can I be a blessing by reaching out to them, saying, hey, you don't have to do this. You know, I love you. People around you love you.
Mm-hmm.
And
you suppose
there are also some, it's really complex, you know, that just taking that scripture in of itself doesn't really fully explain the situations. For example, my family, we all suffer from this condition called celiac disease, which is, it's an autoimmune disorder involving poor digestion and taking up of nutrition. So there's those spectrum of symptoms is very large, and one of the spectrum is mental health. And for decades, my family, my immediate family, we used to fight constantly. I mean, argue, bicker. And about 25 years ago, my mom and my sister suddenly had this revelation about their diet, and they got tested, and they tested positive for celiac. And so I'll never forget, I was invited to have lunch with my family, and I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to have lunch with you, because all we do is fight. And my mom said, no, don't worry, we stopped doing that. And, you know, when your body, your physical body is either malnourished and or in constant pain, it affects how we communicate with each other.
That's true.
So, you know, for example, if somebody approaches me regarding some issue that they're having, an emotional issue that they're having with the people around them, I have a tendency to ask, well, what is your diet like? Because if for example, celiac, you have diarrhea constantly, bloating, cramps, it's not pleasant. You know, it's like you go to a show or a performance and you don't want to sit in the center of the row because at any moment you'll have to jump up and run to the bathroom. I mean, it's not a pleasant situation. So, you know, and another example of the complexity is, you know, my mom has terrible problems with chronic pain. And before it was treated properly, she was a teacher, and the people around her kept thinking that she was angry with them. And she realized that her condition was so stressful that she was sending this negative vibe, and she would tell her students, I'm sorry, I'm not angry with you, I just sound like I'm angry with you.
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
I hate to come in on you like that.
No. Go ahead.
You talked about these things that you suffer from, you and your mother.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about a leaky gut? You suffer from a leaky gut?
Well, could be, but...
You see,
in this case, it's
something.
Not. Celiac is not like leaky gut. It's similar in that... What is it? Yeah, so what it is it's the body is unable to break down the protein gluten completely into amino acids, and what it does is only broken down partially into two compounds that are poisonous that kill the lining of the intestines, damaging it.
Well, I just want to tell you this question because we're going to be soon off here. Now, what do you eat? Just give me a little idea of what you eat.
Simpler if I just tell you what I don't eat. I don't eat gluten found in wheat and any grains genetically related to wheat, like spelt, barley, oats. Sometimes are dangerous because they're transported in wheat trucks. But the point is, you stay away from gluten. And
can you
that's
eat
the only
good.
Way to treat. What?
Can
but
you
I'm
eat
gonna
pasta?
Tell you something.
Only if it's gluten free.
Right.
Okay. Could I tell you something?
Of course.
There's other things that when it gets into your stomach, it makes a hole in your intestines.
Mm.
They call that a leaky gut.
Mm.
Now, what happened was I started following Dr. Gundry at one time. He's on YouTube.
Mm.
And one of the things he talked about is the leaky gut, which I did. I started doing that diet.
Mm.
Because what happens is there's foods that makes a hole in your intestines, and then stuff starts coming out from your intestines into your stomach and all of that, into your body, all out into your body. Things like that... Things that you would love, like tomatoes, green peppers, red peppers, eggplant.
Oh, nightshade.
You wouldn't think that you wouldn't think that these things would make a hole in your gut.
Mm.
So when it makes a holes in your gut, you have to start having problems with your bowel movement and all of that.
Mm.
But since I've been on that. Since I got away from that, I've really have improved with my bowel movement and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
But you should check out Dr. Gundry on YouTube. Dr. Gundry.
Gundrie.
Got Dr. Gundry. I think it's Gundry or whatever it is. He tells you a whole lot of stuff on whatever. Protein, everything. He's very, very, very good. I got a lot of information from him. You know, I don't watch him no more. You know, I used to write down a lot of things that he talked about. Because I was having problems and I didn't understand what the problems was. I do have pain too, just like what you're talking about. I have pain, but pain is more in my legs. But other than that, I feel fine.
Mm. Well, you know? It's like it only hurts when I breathe. So,
that's
you know,
I say,
no joke. I mean, you know, if you have painful legs, you know, the thing you want to do is treat the pain and treat the condition that's causing the pain.
Yeah, no. The only thing is
they said
that my pain is incurable. Whatever I have is incurable. But I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying is check out Dr. Gundry. I'm telling
Will
you.
Do.
He'll give
Will
you so
do.
Much
I just
information.
Jotted down
He'll give you so much information that'll make your head spin. And one of the things he tells you to take olive oil. Olive oil?
Mm-hmm.
For your brain. Olive oil for your brain. No.
Olive oil is good for a lot of stuff.
Mm. Yeah. extra virgin olive oil. But, I mean, he drinks a whole lot of olive oil. I don't drink no olive oil like that, like he said. Huh? You say I drink a liter a week or something. I said I was drinking olive oil.
Oh, my.
No, that's a lot of olive oil.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Oh, she's feeling much, much better now since she got off gluten.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, that really turned it around. Well, you know, then we got diagnosed with the celiac disease. That's how we made the connection. So, oh yeah,
check
much
out,
better. We get along really well now. It's great.
Oh well, that's good.
Praise the Lord.
That's
good. So, I just brought up the situation because you know, when you know, you are what you eat. You know, if your body can't digest what you're eating, it can drive you crazy.
That's true.
You know,
That's true.
And you know, when you have doctors who say, "Oh, it's all in your head," for years. You know,
we have to remember all the how they changed the food. Even the wheat is changed. They say wheat is not the same like it was 50 years ago.
True that.
You know?
True that.
Yeah, I stopped trying to stay away from wheat because I was getting, my head was swelling up from the wheat.
Ooh,
you know, it's not the same like it was 50 years ago, wheat. And not only that, all the chemicals and stuff they put in the food. And see what happens when that food goes into your system, it don't know what to do. Your body don't know what to do with that because it's not made really by God because they've never done intervened and put a whole lot of junk in it with big
names. That's true. That's true.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's true. I spent
I ate an orange today and it doesn't even taste like an orange. You know what I mean? Years ago. When you ate an orange, I mean it tastes like an orange.
Yes.
Now I don't know what it is.
None of the food tastes like it used to. So you don't even know how they're growing it or what they're even putting in it. The grapes and things that you buy now, they're not even sweet. They're more sour than sweet. Mm. Oranges, like Mother said, doesn't taste like oranges. Apples, I don't know what they do. They just, and bananas, they look beautiful on the outside, but when you open them up, they're all rotten inside.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not ripe.
Yeah.
They send them to you not ripe, and the soil is no good. They said the soil is not good. You know, they probably used to get. Go ahead.
And this one came with a hook. So where did you get this one?
Mother, finished. Go ahead.
They used to give soil a rest. You know, like they said, the soil should rest for so many. But I think I don't know if they give the soil a rest now.
I think they just pump chemicals into it.
Yeah,
it's not like what it used to be. It's just not the same.
Yeah, I found out from a wheat farmer that they would spray their crops with a chemical that makes all the wheat plants ripen simultaneously so that they can harvest the field all at once.
Yeah, they want to make money, I guess. You know, they want to keep things going and make money.
Well, they have to because margins are
so
small in agriculture.
So,
you know,
they have a lot of people to feed.
And
it has nothing to do with that.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Farmers are throwing away their yields constantly because they can't make any money off of it. So rather than donate it, they just destroy it.
They just,
Wow.
Yeah.
And
that's why the prices are so high because, you know, they're not, the shipments and things is not coming in like they used to, and so the food spoils, so they have no choice but to throw it out. But see, like, you know, farmers, I think, like, if you're not able to sell the food and the food is starting to go bad, you pick out the good ones and then you take them around to the neighbors and give it to them instead of throwing it away. That's like, waste not, want not.
Seconds.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone should waste food, especially, you know, in some countries they don't even have food to eat. And when you look at some of these programs with these children, they're like they're nothing but skin and bone, you know. And then you look at the children here, how they waste so much food. Not even children, grown ups too. We waste a lot of things in this country. We really do.
We sure do. Yeah.
And then now you half of the stuff that you need, you go in the stores now, half of the shelves are empty. They are empty. I went in Rite Aid. Rite Aid, so the shelves was half empty. So it was like, you know, what happened? You guys don't have this and you don't have that. And they said, well, you know, everything is slow and sometimes the shipment comes and sometimes it doesn't.
But Shelby, you have to realize about the pandemic.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I realize that.
You know, they was talking about a lot of places open up, but they can't get people to work now.
Exactly.
Some of them don't want to work. Yeah. Some people don't want to work.
No,
they want to stay home and get the paycheck or whatever they get, you know.
Yeah, because of the pandemic, a lot of people are spoiled. Now they get more money staying home than they did when they were working. So why go to work and bring home less money when I cannot work and bring home more money? And this is what a lot of people are like, no, I'm not going back out to work, and it's the pandemic and cases. And then some that you got people who go around people who have the virus, and they come back and they spread the virus. So, and it's like nobody's, you know, they still not social distancing. They still not wearing masks. One old lady, I mean, this was like, she was absolutely right. This young woman, got on the bus with no mask, and the bus driver did not say one word to her. She got on that bus, and she stood among, and the bus was crowded. And when the old lady looked up and saw her with no mask on, she started talking to her and telling her, what is the matter with you? Are you crazy? It's crazy people like you who make old people like me sick. And she said, you know you're supposed to wear a mask. And the young girl didn't even look at her. She said, what's the matter with you? You don't speak English? You don't understand what I'm saying? And the girl she did not even pay attention to her. Then other people joined in with the old lady, and the girl still didn't pay no attention to any of them. She just kept her eyes focused on the outside of the window. And that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing I want to say is that some people are working at home. You know, they found that they can work at home rather than go out to a job. So that's why a lot of stuff is very slow, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff in the stores and all like that.
Yeah, because even the bosses and them don't even want to go back out to the buildings. That's why they allow their employees to work at home.
Yeah.
And they do the same. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a pleasure. And want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks with our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins, who brought an awesome word this morning to our psalmist, Barbara Amore, with our poetry. I love that poetry, man. Ooh, beautiful. And to our brother Jake, for showing up in the spirit and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this morning. So God bless each and every one of you. Have a beautiful, good day. And if you can get out, go out and enjoy it, but stay safe.
Stay safe.
Love you guys.
Amen.
Have a good one.
Love
See you all tomorrow.
Love you all. Love
bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Amen.
Okay,
bye.
Shalom. Love and hugs and kisses to everyone. And on
love
that
you
note,
all.
Love you too, Mother. And on that note, we're going to leave out on all belongs to you. Have a blessed
just
day.
Wanna,
yes, ma'am.
You too. This is the last weekend of. So enjoy it. This is the last weekend of the summer. That's all I'm saying.
Because you kept
all
going in and out.
All the 22nd.
Oh, it does? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy this week. This week. Because today's supposed to be 80. Today is 80.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is 80. And then we go down in the
70s.
Yes.
But again, just because it changes on the calendar doesn't mean the weather changes, but it will officially be fall on the 22nd. So enjoy. I will.
Okay,
you
also enjoy.
Love you.
Love you all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.